This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 and it is, of course, the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. As we mentioned, we're going to be talking about the Belanjawanku expenditure guide this hour. If you haven't checked it out, the guide is available online. And while right now it contains estimates for individuals and families living in the Klang Valley, the expectation is that it's going to be expanded to other areas as well.
So this was launched just last week by the EPF together with the University of Malaya Social Wellbeing Research Centre. And now joining us in the studio to talk about Belanjawanku, we've got Professor Dr. Norma Binti Manso, who heads the Social Wellbeing Research Centre in UM. And later joining us also will be Nirmala Subramaniam, a Financial Education Manager at AKPK.
Yes, if you are stuck in traffic at the moment, our guest may in fact be in the car right next to you. So we hope that she'll be able to join us soon. But in the meantime, before we get to our questions, if you have questions about Belanjawanku financial management or the cost of living in general, again, those numbers, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio, where we happen to have a poll running about whether or not you find these numbers actually matching your monthly budget. If you want to weigh in, again, that is on BFM Radio. So in the meantime, Professor Norma, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
So I wanted to start with this. The document, the Belanjawanku document, states that it aims to depict an estimate that doesn't just fulfill minimum basics, but also allows for the ability to lead dignified lives with active involvement in society. And can you explain to us how that, you know, rather specific structure was defined by the team?
Right. When you talk about basic expenditure, it would just be food, shelter, transport, those basic, very basic essentials that you need to live. Yeah. But when you what it means by living a dignified life would also mean that you can participate in your social environment, i.e. if there is a wedding, there's a death in the family or death in friends, among members of the families of friends and all that, you can contribute. So we have a category for social participation. Yeah, we also have a category for discretionary expenses. That would include remittances to parents or your monthly expenditure or even year-round expenditure that is a one-off. Although we mention it as annual expenses, but what we meant was is one-off payment that you will do if you can afford, but you can also leave that out if you can't.
So how were the estimated expenditures drawn up by the team?
It's very thorough. Of course, we surveyed the secondary data and information that we have. We also did our own survey among the 40-year-olds in Klang Valley, and we also did price checks. And after the survey, we did a focus group discussions, and we have several for different categories. We have the married couple, and married couple with one child, and married couple with two children. And we also have a check back phase with experts and all that to see that we have fulfilled. And we also have experts coming in to look into the nutrition requirement, although we follow the Ministry of Health nutrition requirement, but we still want to test it out with the experts face-to-face to see whether we're making sense or not.
Yeah. And there has been some reaction since, I think, with people saying that this doesn't seem to match up or reflect, I suppose, their experiences. It also doesn't seem to take into account where our minimum wage currently sits. You know, how would you respond to that?
This is a guide, Lynn. So our guide is essentially to address some of the problems that we have in our society. You know, the household household debt is very high, especially among the youth. And we're hoping that this estimate or this budget cost to your expenditure would help our young people, especially because we are looking at 40-year-olds and younger. We hope, especially for those who are just about to enter the job market, to know, to budget in advance. What is it that they can do? What is it that, and there are certain things that they should either postpone or perhaps when their income increase.
How do you think this affects our discussion surrounding the minimum wage, I guess, which Pakatan for now has set at 1,100 ringgit? Mm-hmm. And that's set to change, and the eventual goal to put it at 1,500 ringgit.
Right. Now, a minimum wage and Belajar Waktu are two different things. Yeah, the minimum wage, as you know, is an act of parliament. Fortunately or unfortunately, I'm also in the Minimum Wage Council. Yeah, and we have to be very careful in how we devise or set the minimum wage, because the implication is far and wide, where the it would affect business, and when it affects business, it affects everyone, because we are living in an economy where you try to change or tweak one sector, you have to see the impact on the rest of the economy.
And we have a tweet that came through from Sita Thramesh, who says, I'm single, fresh grad, budget car owner. I meet all the numbers set by the guidelines, except I'm more on pushing the numbers for savings. The government can upgrade guidelines on how to maximize savings with given income and expenditure rather than aiming for a small percentage of the income, which I think speaks to a concern of many, right? Mm-hmm. Where you are seeing a situation where while perhaps, you know, living expenses seem to be all right, at the end of the month, you find yourself not having saved all that much. Do you think that within that percentage that's been set, I think it's 250 for the category single that Sita would be falling into.
Yes.
Do you think that there is room for growth in that area?
Okay. The figure that we recommend, which is 1,870, which includes savings of 250, is after the EPF contribution. As you know, the EPF contribution is about 23%. And you definitely, it depends on your income. If we're talking about the low income here, mm-hmm. you know, this kind of income, with this kind of contribution to EPF, it's definitely not enough. So therefore, you would have to have your own savings. Yeah. So our recommendation for 250 is from our survey and from our focus group that they say that they can manage, or rather, if we were to include savings as to be higher, then they find it difficult or a challenge for them to meet the amount that we've set.
If you've got any questions on Belanjawanku or budgeting in general, you can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Prof, earlier you were saying that Belanjawanku is meant to serve as a guide, you know, mm-hmm. that is its primary purpose. How would this guide take us forward? You know, so looking past what has been published, what kind of use or what areas do you see this guide kind of really working in?
Number one is for individuals, yeah, to budget, to plan before you want to purchase a car or even putting a down payment for your house to buy, etc. But it is also, we're hoping that this will be a guide for social policies for governments. When government want to or is thinking about looking into improving social protection in the country, we were hoping that this will be a guide for government to draw upon. Yeah.
Were there any surprising findings from the research that led up to the guide?
Interesting, yes, indeed, because of the range. Because our sampling wasn't random. Our sampling was purposive, meaning that we go to a specific place and we survey people in that place, or even in the focus group, we get people that we can find. Yeah. So when you talk about that kind of sampling frame or sampling method, then you will get the range. Someone is renting a low cost or government, yeah, the Prima home and all that will be 350 a month apartment or flat for a family. And then you have another case where someone is renting or living in a house that and paying an installment of 1,500, or one of them was even paying 2,500. Yeah, so you get that kind of range. But we always have to go back to our main objective of our Belanjawanku, or the reference budget, as it's called in other countries, yeah, because this is Malaysia is one of those countries in the region that has this, but Europe, US, and Australia has what they call either reference budget or budget standard, yeah. So it's essentially just to help to guide, or as a guide for the low income, yeah. So that's the objective, yeah.
We're speaking today with Professor Datuk Dr. Norma Binti Manso, who heads the Social Wellbeing Research Centre in UM. And we're discussing Belanjawanku. Up next, we're going to continue kind of trying to understand exactly what this encompasses. And joining us, hopefully, fingers crossed, traffic permitting, will be Nirmala Subramaniam, Financial Education Manager at AKPK. If you've got any questions about Belanjawanku, if you've got any thoughts or comments to offer, especially when it comes to your own monthly budgeting and the rising costs of living, call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, Electric Light Orchestra with Livin' Thing. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. And it is a full house in our studio now. We are speaking today with Professor Datuk Dr. Norma Binti Manso, Head of the Social Wellbeing Research Centre in UM, and Nirmala Subramaniam, Financial Education Manager at AKPK. We're talking about Belanjawanku, but also we're talking about financial management, the cost of living, how you budget. So if you've got any questions at all about any of those things, that number to call, 7733 2900 018 789 8899 is the number to WhatsApp, and you can tweet us as well as join our Twitter poll on at BFM Radio. So Nirmala, you mentioned earlier you were listening in the car, so you're all caught up. And I just wanted to talk to you about this. I mean, what are your thoughts on the figures within Belanjawanku?
Thank you for having us. We were also part of the focus group, actually, that when the Belanjawanku was actually discussed earlier. So it was supposed to show, actually, the kind of spending that a person would actually have. So looking at the figures, we do feel that, of course, there are some things that probably would be higher in actual, but it was actually a general survey done and a general focus done. So something, it's a guide. Actually, we should just look at it as a guide. It may not necessarily really reflect what we actually spend, but it is actually a guide that probably if you are living around this area, this is probably something that the most minimum amount that you would actually need. Yeah. So we look at it that way. We take it as a guide that it is something that we would actually need. Because for clients who come to our office actually for debt restructuring, we also have a metrics on their budget, because we need to see what are they actually spending for before we restructure their debt and come up with an amount that they can actually pay. And we want that budget that they give us is something realistic, something that is real. Because sometimes just to get the payment in and to get into the program, they would put a very unrealistic budget to say a family of six and I'm only spending for food 300 ringgit, which it doesn't make sense, actually. So we are looking at this as more of a guide to comprehend of what we actually have also.
Mm-hmm. Prof Norma, so we have a few questions here talking about, I guess, well, how much do you then give to parents? Is that considered, is the calculator under the budget, right? So that comes from Wendy and KW. Where does that fall under in the Belanjawanku guide?
Thank you. Thank you for the question. It's under the discretionary expenses. Yeah, so we budget for 130 under discretionary. That would include contribution to parents. And once you're a married couple, we budget for 300 ringgit. So perhaps between the two, 150 can go to each side.
Nirmala, I wanted to pick up on that simply because the fact that that question has come through quite a bit, I think, speaks to the fact that a lot of people do want to be able to provide for their parents. I think it's a mixture of things. Sometimes you want to, sometimes you're obligated to, sometimes you're expected to. But the point is, for many people, giving money, you know, to their parents is part of how they plan their budget. How much should that number be? Is there an idea then? Is there a set number that we should be aiming for?
It's a tough question. I mean, to have a set number, it's quite tough because it's again, the need of the parents. How much do their parents actually need? Also, the affordability of the giver, you know. Mm-hmm. So we have this situation where most working adults are stuck in, actually, is we call them the sandwich generation, where they actually have two families to cater for. Their parents and also their own children. So they are trapped in this sandwich generation culture. And how much to give, that depends. Okay, some parents are probably, they are independent. They have their own savings, so they have some kind of pension, but maybe not enough. So we are just supplementing. We are just like filling in the gap for them. But there are also some who's totally dependent, and that's where you have to actually give more. And also, it's also back to the child's commitment. You know, they have their children and they have to give care. So to give an exact amount, an exact percentage, I think is quite tough. So it's really back to how much do they need, and are they really dependable, 100% dependable? Oh no, it's just my responsibility to give back. But I guess what the budget has drafted up, it's more of like a responsibility to give back. Mm-hmm. Is something that I feel that I need to provide to my parents as a gift.
We're speaking today about Belanjawanku. We're talking later on. We're going to really be addressing budgeting, really, because that's the central question here. And if you have any questions, please call us 777-332-900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Iz has asked a question on WhatsApp regarding debt and how it feeds into the picture here. So we will get to that right after the news at 6:30. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and today we're talking about Belanjawanku, budgeting, as well as the rising cost of living. If you have any questions about anything at all, call us 777-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio, because live in the studio with us is Professor Dr. Norma Bidimanso, head of the Social Wellbeing Research Center in UM, and Nirmala Subramaniam, financial education manager at AKPK. And so I think earlier we've kind of laid out the groundwork of how Belanjawanku came to be, that it's meant to be a guide more than anything else. And one thing that we wanted to pick up on, Nirmala, was that the medium income for individuals and families in the Klang Valley, broadly speaking, exceeds Belanjawanku's estimated expenditure for, you know, that good, dignified quality of life. But why does it then still seem so common that people seem to either not have enough to spend or, you know, not enough to save for that matter?
Oh, well, there are many reasons that we see. What we see, we normally ask the clients who come to us, and we ask them, why did you get into financial difficulties, and why are you having more debts than you can afford? And the most common reason that we get is poor financial planning, that they did not plan. So that I would say is the reason is that we have this lifestyle that we want to achieve, but in terms of planning, we are not that good there yet. We are not there. So we don't actually plan our spendings or plan in terms of the amount of debts that we want to take. And that relatively leads to, you know, spending more than what you can afford. Of course, there are other reasons in terms of circumstances. Emergencies happen, things that, you know, that we did not foresee and things. So we also have this issue, circumstances, no planning, lack of education, and also sometimes greed is the cause, actually. You want to get rich faster and you get into the wrong schemes and wrong plans, and that leads to more losses, you know. So there are various factors, but all of this actually comes back to the root is in terms of literacy, education. It's like how much I know and how do I know to plan. If I were to take up something, if I were to purchase something, you know, whether it's a need or want, how do I differentiate? How do I budget for that? So I guess it's all about the knowledge that we lack of.
And going back to that whole topic about debt, Iz here has a message that says that Belanjawanku doesn't make reference to debt. Many Malaysians are in heavy debt. How to belanja when we are only paying our debts month in, month out? How can KWSB assist this group?
Interesting. When we work on Belanjawanku, is to guide people not to get into debt. When you are already in debt, it depends on, number one, how much is your debt? And number two, are you willing? That means you would have to forego certain things, yeah? Because it's very clear that you have to eat. But perhaps, okay, the way we cater for food, for instance, we take into consideration, we did price check, yeah, we did price survey, and we also surveyed eating in and eating out mama stores, garage and all that, we went for that. And 550, you divide by 30 days, you get about 18 ringgit, 18.3 ringgit or something. So you can have three meals for 18 ringgit, or you can reduce if you have to pay that. That's on food. And you can go for other other expenditures as well. So I think that's the way. And the idea is for you not to incur further debts. Yeah.
We have another question that's come in from a listener here, that's coming from Cynthia, actually. And Nirmala, earlier you couldn't land on a specific percentage when it came to how much how much money you should be giving to your parents. But Cynthia wants to know, what is the guideline for the percentage of our income for savings, house and car?
All right. Normally we would say that savings, I mean, the rule of thumb is at least 10% out of your income. This is not including the contribution that you make to KWSP. This is on top of that. So it's 10% of your net income. And then when we talk about debts in terms of paying for housing installments or your higher purchase installments or other loans, it should not exceed 40% of your income. So the debt-to-income ratio that's ideal to maintain is 40% for your loans, and then you have 10% for your savings, and the balance is for your living costs. So that's an ideal this thing. But there again, if you were to take a person who's earning less than 3,000, if he can't follow this ratio so closely, because if you take 40% for debts, then it's too high and it's too low for living costs. So it also weighs to the income. But in general, we would take like the category of 3,000 and above, then this is a rule of thumb that they can actually follow.
If you've got any questions about budgeting, financial planning, Belanjawanku, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Prof Norma, sorry, I spoke over you. I think you had something else to add.
Yes, about the debt. I think, I missed that point that we have budgeted for housing and also car loan, yeah? Housing loan and car loan. So that, of course, I mean, we take that into consideration. If you're single, the assumption that we have here is that you take public transport. If you have a car that you have to pay for your car loan, then we budget for the car loan, which is actually an increase of 38% of your income. Yeah, so that would tie in with what Nirmala was saying, 40%. Mm-hmm. So if it's 38%, then you cannot afford to have a car. You can't afford to buy a house. You can't have the what do you call that, mortgage debt anymore. Yeah, so that's how we look at debt with regards to Belanjawanku. Yeah, thank you, Lynn.
Prof, there's a question here from Nat on Twitter who asks, you know, what was the baseline and parameters for the focus groups that you have mentioned?
The baseline, what does that mean? I'm not very...
So, I mean, she goes on to say that I dare say the suggested budgets are not reflective of the average income earner. So...
I think the question here is, when it came to the focus groups that were involved in this, mm-hmm. how were they chosen, really?
Oh, okay.
You know, who were they? How
were
they chosen?
Right, yeah. Okay. So we combined the survey results, the focus group, and we did our price checks, yeah? We checked for housing, for instance, we checked mudah.com, and we also checked iBilik, yeah? And for food items or other kind of expenditure, we went to Tesco and Giant, you know, so we do the range and we take the average, or we will take 25% above the lowest price. So that's the kind of estimate that we did. So, of course, you can't. We cannot measure everyone's expenditure pattern and all that. That would also depend on your lifestyle. But as we were saying, that you cannot, it is not about lifestyle here. It is about what you can afford. So it's about how you should spend, if your income is low. And this is our recommendation.
Building on Nat's question, how then are we going to expand it to include places outside the Klang Valley? Because there are so many different parameters, even within one space, right? But then once you exit that, I think not just spending patterns will change, but also just costs in general. And that is also going to differ across the country. Are we looking at where to next and, you know, how that would translate, in fact?
We are looking at other cities and also perhaps smaller towns, perhaps Kota Baru, Kuantan. You know, Kuantan is also a city, but a smaller city, and also Sabah and Sarawak. Then we will follow the same process. We'll do the price checks. We will do the mamaks, the gerais, and all that. And we will have a focus group again, but not necessarily the experts on nutrition and all that, because wherever you are, the nutrition need is the same. Yeah.
So what should be done to help those earning below the estimated expenditure to also attain the ability to live a dignified and active life?
Well, if let's say your income is 1,500, yeah, our estimate, I think we, without the discretionary expenses and savings, is about 1,490. So that's 1,500. So if your income is at that level, then you will have to cut down on other things. Yeah? So in this case, for instance, we allocate the personal care of 70 ringgit. Yes, personal care would include your personal hygiene, the basic grooming and all that. So perhaps you have to cut on some of those things. Yeah. So you can work on this according to your budget, but one shouldn't exceed what you can afford.
We're speaking today with Professor Datuk Dr. Norma Binti Manso, Head of the Social Wellbeing Research Centre in UM, as well as Nirmala Subramaniam, Financial Education Manager at AKPK. We're speaking about Belanjawanku. We're talking about budgeting, financial planning. If you've got questions, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be continuing the conversation after this. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We're speaking today with Professor Dr. Norma Binti Manso, as well as Nirmala Subramaniam, and we're discussing Belanjawanku. We've been talking quite a bit about the methodology, about how it came to be. But I think we should also discuss, really, you know, the reason this was required in the first place. And that there has been a lot of conversation around financial literacy and where we stand in terms of where we stand here in Malaysia. How do you think we're faring in terms of that, in terms of people just having that fundamental knowledge of how to manage finances?
I think it was announced that day during the Belanjawanku that by the minister as well, that we will stand at 38 ranking, if I'm not mistaken. So we do the survey by Bank Negara does this survey under the OECD guideline to get gauged on the financial literacy knowledge. We normally measure them in three aspects: knowledge, behavior, and attitude. And we are still relatively, I would say, not that high yet. There's still a lot more to do. So where, like what I mentioned earlier, even coming to AKPK, most of them say the reason why they are in financial problem is due to poor financial planning. And when we dig in deeper, we see that it is due to they do not know how to plan. So coming back to the ratio, that's now we were discussing about what is the debt to income, the ideal debt to income ratio that I should take. Even many do not know about this. So it's more of like what is offered to you. I deem that that has right for me, but that not necessarily not be that, you know, because what the financial institutions offer to you is what they see that you can probably afford, but you should actually know what you could really afford. So that's back to what I can and what they give, you know. So that gap is where this knowledge needs to fill in. So in a lot of ways too, even in terms of investments, still it shows very low among a certain group of people. And in terms of protection, even in terms of taking up protection, certain insurance or takaful that they want to take, we are still relatively very low because we don't see that importance of actually going for that. So even we have done a survey within our working groups. Yeah, we did the AKPK's financial survey against the working group, and we saw that the self-employed are actually very vulnerable here. So we find that they feel that they don't have enough knowledge and they don't have enough savings and stuff because they're not contributing to any statutory bodies on savings deduction. So the there is still a lot more to do in terms of financial literacy. We are working on it very hard, and we are there from the university, from the point of time. We have a subject that is MQA accredited, personal financial management. We're trying to get more and more university because the prevention needs to start very young, actually. It needs to start before they actually start buying anything or making financial decisions. So it has to start then. So we are there. We are also with employees. We are also in the workplace. We are also with the community. So, but there's still a And what we feel is actually this education cannot be a one-off thing. It has to be at point of making decisions. So, for example, if I were to buy a property, at that point of time, I need a decision. I'm going to make a decision. At that point of time, I need that knowledge. So that's where we also have our portal online called Rumahku. So they would learn actually, okay, so prior to buying a house, this is what I need to know, simple things. Yeah. So financial literacy actually would help a person make better choices, make better decisions. Not necessarily it's going to solve all your problems, but it definitely can help to reduce them.
And I guess looking beyond financial planning, should you know where should the focus be in terms of policy, right? Looking at aspects such as raising salaries or reducing cost of living, for example. Where should that fit into the picture? Because, you know, there's only sometimes, there's only so much you can earn, there's only so much you can save.
Agreed that policies need to come in place. It works hand in hand. So even if policies work and you don't plan, it's not going to help you either because cost of living is something that will be rising. Salary is there. And we need to manage both. So we have seen cases where they are earning a high salary and yet they fall in problem. Because we have this tendency of the moment our salary increases, the first thing we upgrade is our lifestyle. We change our lifestyle. So that's a normal human nature. So we always come back to the core of like, it's not how much you earn, but it's how you manage what you earn. So first, we need to manage what we earn first. Of course, we need more to have a better lifestyle, a better living. So how much more do we need and are we using them wisely? So that's where the knowledge actually helps. So it works hand in hand. So once your knowledge is there, you would know how much you need, how much you need to go, and then you will work the rest towards it. It's just not merely about increasing salary and not having the knowledge. It's not going to help. Having the knowledge, increasing salary, it all works together, actually.
If I could add, yeah, when you talk about financial literacy, it goes beyond having the knowledge, but it's to actually act on it. So financial education is only effective when you make that first move. Either you plan or you save or you buy insurance, yeah? So that's what financial literacy means. Having the knowledge alone isn't sufficient, yeah.
And last year, Bank Negara released the Living Wage Guide, which states the amount to achieve a minimum acceptable standard of living. But we always talk about the minimum wage, right? Is it time that we move away from that to the living wage? How feasible would that shift be?
Living wage and minimum wage are two different things.
Yes.
And minimum wage is an act of parliament, meaning that if organizations or business do not follow minimum wage, they can be taken to task. Yeah. And yet, living wage is something that you expect or people to live at a certain level in a society. So because I'm also in the Minimum Wage Council, yeah, talking about minimum wage, one has to take into consideration the whole economy, whether the business can afford if you were to make the minimum wage at a certain level. Yeah, and a minimum wage is supposed to be the minimum. And in many countries, people are not paid elsewhere, yeah, people are not paid the minimum wage. They're paid higher than the minimum wage. So these are some of the things that I think we have to understand in terms of the concepts of these different concepts that we have. Yeah.
Ultimately, then, I think in closing, we've talked about what the purpose of Belanjawanku was in the short term, or rather in this immediate release. But looking ahead and looking forward, now that it's out there in the world, you know, what do you hope to see result from it? How do you hope to grow it in the future? What can we expect to see?
We would hope that people are interested. People would like to use Belanjawanku as their guide. And this is one way of me reaching out as well. And also we're trying through other means. But we're also hoping that we will come up with an app where the Malaysians living in Klang Valley would know that, for instance, at the 15th day of the month, if they have used up 70% of the so-called recommended expenditure, then maybe an amber, you know, flickering would happen. Then, you know, caution, so you are exceeding your whatever. So we're hoping that this will become a guide, and we hope to talk more about this. And we will update our figures every year and take into consideration the price change, inflation, and all that. So every year we're hoping to update our data.
Obviously, I think it could be also an eye-opener to many. Many would not even have realized that these are the expenditures they do. So we would take it as a guide, that we would actually need, at least this is the minimum that you would require. But of course, there are other expenses to that. And if you were to go to this, then you know you need to budget. So it's all about, actually, I would see it as an eye-opener to many who not even have realized that they have used this. And we will see that it's important and essential for them to actually use, and maybe with the follow-up and with them doing it, actually, probably it will be more realistic.
Thank you both so much for joining us today. That was Professor Datuk Dr. Norma Binti Mansur, who heads the Social Wellbeing Research Centre in UM, as well as Nirmala Subramaniam, Financial Education Manager at AKPK. You've been listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.